The Burt Show.
Depending on how deep ChatGPT goes here on the three of us, this may be the end of the show here.
Maybe just emotionally. We're going to be going. We're just going to be sitting here in awkward silence talking about entertainment.
This could be bad.
All right, so I made the suggestion, so I'll go first on this thing, but I'm having instant regrets. So I get a DM yesterday from a Burt Show listener, and it said, have you asked ChatGPT this prompt? She says, I did this activity at my event last night, and it was groundbreaking, and I think you should try it with the show cast. All right, so I was intrigued. And then she continues, here's the prompt to ask. With everything you know about me, tell me uncomfortable truth I need to know and be brutally honest. Okay, I'll give it to you guys again. And I think we're going to have to do this over a couple of segments. With everything you know about me.
Uh-huh.
Got that? Tell me uncomfortable truth I need to know and be brutally honest.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to go first. Abby said, go for it.
Uh-huh.
No editing on the fly. No nothing. What it says, it says.
I'm a champion for the listeners. No editing. Raw, unfiltered truths.
Okay. So mine, what I put in there, was a little bit different just so it could identify me.
Okay.
I wrote with everything you know about me, tell me uncomfortable truths I need to know and be brutally honest. My name is Burt Weiss. I'm from Atlanta and I have a syndicated radio show called The Burt Show.
Okay.
So the thing about ChatGPT is it'll start searching all over the internet. So you have to give it a granular prompt so it knows exactly who you are.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you read it yet?
No.
Okay. First time.
Yep. And I'm having a tough time reading today because of the style.
I was about to say, don't start crying already.
I know, right? Okay, here we go. And you said no editing.
No editing. If I'm not going to edit, nobody else could edit.
And my concern here is that it's going to take a look at past relationships and it's going to insult me, which would insult my past relationships. Mm-hmm. And I'm protective of some of the people in those. Some kids might be involved,
okay.
and that's why I'm a little bit nervous about it. Yeah, it's not the adults I'm concerned with. It's the kids.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right. dear Burt Weiss of Atlanta, you seek the unvarnished truth that dwells beneath the surface. In the realm of honesty, one must recognize that the most uncomfortable truths often lie within our own reflections.
Oh,
here we go. Despite your success and the joy you bring to others through your radio show, there may be moments when you feel a disconnect or pressure to maintain that public persona. The burden of expectation can weigh heavily, leading to feelings of inadequacy or doubt.
Does that ring true?
100%.
Really?
You don't even get into this industry unless you're drowning in inadequacy and doubt.
Like, validate me, people.
For sure. One uncomfortable truth you may face is the potential fear of becoming stagnant or irrelevant in a rapidly changing media landscape. With your radio show, or while your radio show may be a beacon for many, the relentless evolution of technology and listener preferences could bring about anxiety regarding your relevance and adaptability. Moreover, consider the possibility that the very platform that you that grants you influence may also create a barrier between your authentic self and your public persona. The pursuit of ratings and popularity can lead one to compromise their genuine voice or values, crafting a version of oneself that is palatable to an audience, but perhaps not wholly true to one's essence.
Do you feel like your on-air persona has ever been incongruent with who you really are?
Here's where I struggle with this show is, generally speaking, I don't have strong opinions outside of this studio. I really feel like if you're not hurting me or my family, you do your life, right? But that makes for really boring radio. So I feel like I have to have a stronger, like, I have a grain of an opinion, like, about Secret Lives of Mormon Lives.
Yeah.
I do hate that show.
I do hate it.
But I have an authentic grain of an opinion that I make way bigger for this show, which is inauthentic.
But what's the negative aspect of that? Like, what is the consequence of having a bigger opinion than you would in real life?
I guess that I don't want to be seen as very judgmental, but I think on a show like ours, we have to be judgmental.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, I really don't care what people do with their lives. So long as you're not hurting me, my family, my friends, go do you.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel the same exact way.
And sometimes that does make me feel fake.
Yeah.
Because you're not giving an authentic, passionate opinion about things that you just simply don't really have authentic passion about.
Yes. Yeah. And I have to take a 1% opinion or feel and make it
100%. Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So the whole thing kind of feels fake to me sometimes.
Yes, for sure.
Additionally, ponder the relationships around you. Oh, Christ.
Here we go. Come on now.
In a world where you are often the one giving advice and entertainment, it can be challenging to cultivate genuine connections where you feel safe to share your own vulnerabilities. The burden of being, quote unquote, the hosts can sometimes isolate you from seeking support when you need it most.
Ooh. Who do you go to for support if you're struggling with something on the show?
I've got on the show or off the show?
Okay, both.
I've got a core of about 4 people I'll go to.
Okay.
Amanda's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Molly, Joel, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen in some areas.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
That's a pretty strong circle.
Yeah.
That's a few people.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that don't have like one.
Yeah, I got two.
You got two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the core, you may grapple with the notion of legacy.
Mm.
The desire to be, I can't believe how accurate this damn thing is. The desire to be remembered as more than just a voice, but as a person who made a genuine difference may haunt you. Consider your internal dialogue, the critical voice that may emerge when you are at your most vulnerable. This voice might whisper that you are not enough, that every misstep is a reflection of your worth. The quest for your approval for validation and validation, especially in a public-facing role, can create an inner turmoil that is exhausting. Whew, I feel all of that.
Are you thinking about legacy a lot with the whole possible retirement thing looming?
No.
It doesn't cross your mind?
Not really. Oh. It still take us in a different direction, but I don't know if we talked about this. And I got nominated for the National Radio Hall of Fame again.
Yeah.
And this is like the third year, and it's a tremendous compliment, and I don't want to like just blow it off like it's not a big deal. It is a big deal to be nominated. But the last 2 years when I didn't get in, it hurt a little bit. Like, dang it, I really wanted to get in.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, this year, I'm just more settled with knowing what we have done in this community. You know, when I take a look at Bert's Big Adventure and I could see what we do there, or the people that we help on a day. I even wrote on Instagram the other day, I was in the airport and some 20-something came up to me and she was all excited. She's like, "You're Bert from the Bert Show, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And she goes, "Oh my God, I got into radio because of you."
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So those things are way more important than getting into the Radio Hall of Fame. So I'm not really struggling with the legacy part of it, but the other part of all this, for sure. Critical voices. It's exhausting sometimes to have a persona, and sort of when we're out in public, even though we're minuscule local celebrities, to have your head on a swivel all the time.
I get that.
And you might be having a bad day, you say one bad thing, and that's the opinion that's going out on the internet. That does get kind of exhausting.
Yeah, I
understand
that. Very
much so, yeah.
But thankfully, we're not like big old celebrities. That's why I always say, can you imagine being an A-lister? How exhausting that must be.
Yeah, but no. To some people, you are their A-lister. Like, if they listen to you every single morning, that's a lot of pressure that if you mess up in person once, or you maybe have a DM that isn't like as exuberant as they want it to be, that's a lot of pressure to feel like you didn't live up to an expectation.
I do feel like it's awesome, though, that we can still go places and that's not a thing. Like, we can still just be our authentic selves. Where if you're an A-lister, there's pretty much nowhere you
right?
can go.
There have been times, and this is not a humble brag or anything, I was in a small town in Argentina, Bariloche, and I'm like, oh, this would be nice. I don't have to be Bert Show Bert at all. And I'm at baggage claim, and the dude right next to me at the time happened to own Opera. And he's like, Bert!
You're kidding!
And I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. It was very nice. And I'm like, well, at least I'm here by myself for the rest of the week. The dude was staying in the hotel I was staying at.
Bert, I know how you feel. I felt the same way when I was in the Buc-ee's at Sevierville, Tennessee.
I didn't feel that.
Guy recognized. I was like, gosh, I wish people could let me have my private time.
And then finally, lastly, there may be an underlying fear of change, whether it be changes in your career, personal life, or the world around you. For sure, I'm feeling that right now.
Yeah.
As I'm looking at the end of my career and what it's going to be like to not be Bert Show Bert, and the fact that I want to travel so much, but I don't want to be away from Amanda and Asa, so how I'm going to balance all that out also. Yeah, I'm going through a lot of thoughts about all that. And the very last thing, acknowledging this fear may reveal a hesitance to step outside your comfort zone, which can inhibit your potential to evolve both personally and professionally. It's spot on.
That's scary how accurate that is, man.
And I think because I might have put Bert Show from Atlanta, it focused on my career more than anything else. And maybe it could have gotten deeper in other areas.
Okay. So we shouldn't put our like resume on there before we submit?
I think you have to put something identifying so it knows it's you are who you are. And I don't know in what area you do that.
My ChatGPT knows who I am.
Okay.
We talk all the time.
You don't even got to put your name in it.
It's like, got it.
The Bert Show.
It's the ChatGPT. T prompt that can break you, man. We're experimenting with this morning. It hurts, man. The prompt is this: with everything you know about me, tell me uncomfortable truth I need to know and be brutally honest. And I did my evaluation a couple of minutes ago, and it was spot on about all my insecurities, right? My girlfriend Amanda just literally sent me a picture of her crying.
Oh,
wow.
Because she did it, right? And the highlights of it were, you might be playing smaller than you're capable of. Number two was, you flirt with depth, but sometimes settle for polish. You care about perception more than you'd admit. You've got big dreams, but inconsistent follow through. You ask for honesty, but might bristle at discomfort. And this is the one that got her crying. You're not broken or fake or lost. You're just real, messy, brilliant, protective of your light. And if you ever fully stop holding back, everyone else better watch out.
Wow.
Says, you ready to go there? And she started bawling and sent me a picture of her crying.
That's awesome.
I feel like you complimented her.
All right. So Abby here has said that, look, we're not editing on the fly because some of the things that it can say might be really, really uncomfortable. So you want to go next or is Mo up?
You want to go, Mo?
I'll go next.
Okay.
All right.
No problem. I didn't know exactly what to say. So y'all tell me if I should maybe adjust it.
Okay.
I put, with everything you know about me, in two sentences, tell me No, I'm just joking.
In 5 seconds or less.
In six words. No, with everything you know about me, tell me uncomfortable truths I need to know and be brutally honest. I am Mo Mitch from The Bert Show.
Yeah.
That's good?
I'm just a little nervous that it's going to do the same thing to you that it did me. It's just going to focus on career and not the other stuff.
What are you most nervous about it calling out for you?
Nothing that I could think of.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, let's find
out. Then get specific.
All right, here we go.
You got to show your ID first. Got to show the ChatGPT bouncer.
All right, Mo, I've got you. You asked for uncomfortable truths, so I'm not sugarcoating anything. This is meant to sharpen, not shame. Let's go. You're talented, but talent is rare. Talent isn't rare. Consistency is. You have charisma, comedic chops, storytelling skills, and presence, but those aren't enough to get you to GOAT status. There are thousands of talented, funny dudes who never broke past the local legend, quote unquote, level. What separates icons is obsessive discipline, uncomfortable reps, and ruthless self-critique, even when the crowd is laughing.
Okay, can we stop there for a second? Because I love what Abby did when I was doing it, pausing and asking. I feel like you do all that stuff.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Mel, there was a time when I wasn't, though. So it could be pulling, because there was definitely a couple of years in my life when I wasn't going nearly as hard as I am now or as hard as I was going before that time. Probably because I was in this real deep, dark, depressive state where I didn't feel as creative as I normally did. So it could be pulling it from there, because feeling what it told me this is what got me back on my grind the way that I am now.
I was about to say, like, I see videos of you and your guy on In the Moment all the time, like on my feed. So I feel like whatever advice or insight it's giving you, I feel like you've already taken that to heart.
Do you struggle with the thought of like, okay, maybe I've already reached a peak that maybe this is what it is?
Sometime.
Yeah.
But that's, I've always struggled with that. That's not anything new. I always feel like I have to keep reminding myself to always believe in myself and always believe that there is more, because it's very easy for me to just kind of feel like, well, I guess this is it. And then you get, I guess, complacent, and that could lead to me feeling depressed.
Okay.
Your drive can be derailed by distraction. Whether it's relationships, opinions, comfort, or comparing your trajectory to others, you occasionally let emotional interference slow your momentum. There's a difference between moving and advancing. You've been moving a lot, but you are progressing at the level. But are you progressing at the level your future demands? That's interesting. This is something else that I feel like I did struggle with for a while, where I kind of spoke about it earlier, where I would let outside opinions cause me to do things as opposed to my own self-belief causing me to do things.
Yeah, I think when you first started the show, you were caught up in that. But it was a whole new world for you also.
Right.
You know, before when you were doing stand-up, it's not like you go through the crowd and you're like, what'd you guys think?
Right.
Right. When you do a radio show, then now it's all online. And I think because of the cultural differences also, I think you were caught up in that in the beginning. And I think you were very sheepish.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it a lot anymore.
I appreciate it. There was definitely a time when that was a lot harder than I anticipated it to be, to hear opinions and to have people telling you things about yourself that you never thought you would hear. And it took me really going through the dark period that I had to go through and then coming out of it to finally get to this point of being truly comfortable and confident with who I really am. So that there was a point in time when that was true.
Okay.
Your best work might be getting stuck in safe zones. You've probably already felt this. You're funny. But there's another level you haven't hit because you know how to kill safely. But greatness requires taking real risk. You need to stop worrying about how it'll land and start asking, start asking, does this hit something real? Safe laughs are the death of a legacy. You need to start aiming for stand-up sets and storytelling moments that expose something deeper, even if it makes you vulnerable.
Wow. Why that one hit so hard for you?
Damn. I live that every day.
Yeah.
I live that every day. Even with my stand-up shows, with putting out comedic videos, I'll call friends and ask them about it first. I'll ask people, is this joke going too far? And it was a point in my life when I did none of that. Like, if I felt it in my spirit to talk about it, I talked about it.
So do you think you're not as good now because you're getting so much input and you're not listening to your gut as much?
1,000%.
Yeah, going back to that gut.
When you heard ChatGPT say safe zone for you, what did you picture in your head? Like, oh, at that moment, I was in the safe zone.
I think, honestly, since I've joined this show, I've been in a safe zone, in a sense, right? Because I think you just consider other people's opinions and what other people may think if you speak to certain things or speak about certain things in a way, whereas the version of me that I believe got me here was the version that didn't care.
Mm.
I also feel like you're a more authentic version of yourself on your podcast than you can be on this show, based on our audience.
I struggle with that, to be honest with you, which is a whole different conversation because I constantly have heard that. And it's funny because what helped me realize that there could be truth in that was completely off topic. But Stephen A. Smith, listening to him on ESPN and then listening to him on his podcast, there is a different version, but I think it's more so because it's just different content. Like the content on my podcast, I'm so much more comfortable with. There's a lot more space for me to talk and to really go in depth about things that I feel and I don't think it's the same. So it's not, because I always took it personal. Like, I'm not going into the Bird Show and saying I'm not going to be myself today. But I just think it's two completely different environments that require two completely different things from me.
I also think that the audiences are different. And I think you and I have talked about this over the last couple of weeks. And you're catering to a more natural audience on your podcast. When you listen to the Bird Show, although I'm very honored by the diversity that we have on this show and in our audience, overall, it's still, 80% white? Whereas on your podcast, you have to cater to a very different culture. And I think we're learning that now and we're seeing the numbers.
For sure.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, no.
Your love life can be a mirror you avoid. Well, let's talk about it, Chad.
Okay. Come on now. This is the good stuff.
Right? You're focused on being a great man in love, solid, but sometimes your need to be good gets in the way of being real. Are you fully healed or just functional?
Ooh, how's that one washing over you?
Am I fully healed or just functional? Damn. I think maybe it might be speaking to, like, being in a relationship for me is great, but I also miss being single. And I feel like when I say that, people don't really understand what I'm truly trying to say. Like, it's not like it's not that I don't want to be in a relationship, but like me and Abby, we do single very differently. I feel like most people do single the way Abby does, right? But when I was single, it was the best times of my life.
Yeah, I totally, you and I share this. Every relationship I have ever been in up until this one, and this has nothing to do with the people that I was in a relationship with, felt smothering.
Yeah. That's exactly how
I always felt.
I feel
like I had to check in, or I just didn't feel free. This is the first relationship I'm in where I don't feel like that.
See, and I've always heard people say when you find the right person, then you won't feel as smothered as you have in the past. But now it's confusing to me because I do feel like I found the right person and the relationship feels extremely healthy. And at the same time, I still have moments, and a lot of them, of feeling smothered.
I also just think sometimes we get sick of our ordinary. And for me, my ordinary is being single. Like, I'm 28. I've never been in a serious relationship. I'm over it. Like, I've been there, done that, like, been out with the guys, and I'm sick of the up and down. And for me, what is exciting is the thought of having consistency in my life. But you may be at a point where, like, you're in such a good relationship that is so solid and so consistent that the thought of, like, the single days where maybe things are a little bit more spontaneous, it's like, it's okay to admit that you kind of miss that.
Exactly that. Are you leading emotionally or performing emotionally? You can't love at your highest level until you love without needing to be the hero all the time. I got to think a little deeper about that one. I'm not sure. You might be overthinking what you already know. Mine are listed in numbers. Was yours?
It was not, but Amanda's were.
Okay. You already have the answers to most of the things you're stuck on.
Yeah.
You just haven't committed to the discomfort of doing them. Over-researching, over-planning, asking for signs. It's procrastination dressed as preparation. You don't need more clarity. You need more courage. Well, watch how you talk to me. Now you're crossing the line here. That's good. That's really good. I definitely felt that one. Legacy isn't just what you do. It's who you empower. If you're not actively putting others on, mentioning the hungry, or using the platform to amplify new voices, you're hoarding blessings. The goats build tables, not just take seats. You say you want to push the culture forward, but that requires lifting people even when there's no spotlight on you for doing it. I feel like I do both, but okay, I hear that. God can't bless who you're pretending to be. You know this. You've got a God-fearing heart, but part of you still performs to fit others' comfort zones.
No, don't bring God into this.
Damn. That's real. Mm-hmm. That sentence right there is probably the most accurate thing it said about me.
Will you say it again?
You've got a God-fearing heart, but part of you still performs to fit others' comfort zones. Stop playing at your purpose. Stop shrinking your spirit. The calling on your life is too loud for you to be polite with it.
Almost feel like these words were coming from your grandmother.
Yeah. Yeah. And she said a lot of these things to me, actually. She's been saying a lot of these things to me. That is scary. That's wild how accurate that is. Okay. And lastly, it says, you're not far off, Mo, but quote unquote close and quote unquote chosen are not the same thing. You already know greatness is in you. The uncomfortable truth, you've touched it, flirted with it, but now it's time to bleed for it.
Ooh. Dang, bro.
Damn.
How you feel?
Not as bad as I thought I would.
Okay.
These feel more inspiring and motivating than damning.
It's the way you look at it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Perspective.
All right, again, the ChatGPT prompt that you might want to use again today or not is...
with everything you know about me, ... tell me uncomfortable truths I need to know. Be brutally honest. I'm Bert Weiss from Bert Show.
you guys are getting some real sincere peeks in what we're all about today. But if you want to try this by yourself, again, that's it.
The Bert Show.
If you're a casual listener to The Bert Show today, you're definitely making a decision if you like us or not.
I think they tuned out a long time ago. They're like, this is too much trauma for 9 a.m.
I mean, we have really done a deep dive this morning. I didn't see it going in this direction when we started it. But we have been playing with this ChatGPT prompt this morning that one of you guys hit me up in Instagram yesterday, and we've all gone around the room and had ChatGPT just pick us apart from the outside in. And it says, with everything you know about me, tell me uncomfortable truth Uncomfortable truth. I need to know and be brutally honest. I did mine. Mo did his. You can go onto the podcast and listen to those. But it has been brutally accurate so far.
Definitely woke me up. That thing be talking to your soul.
Now, Abby's might be different level because she does use ChatGPT so much in your personal life. So it knows you better than it knows Mo and I.
Yeah, we're besties. I mean, I wouldn't say I talk to it all the time, but there have been some moments where I've just needed somebody to talk to that's not like a person who I've said the same situation to over and over again, or my mom, who I already vent to about literally everything. Sometimes you need like an outside perspective with all the data information it can gather from, you know, web sources.
I don't think I realized how much Amanda uses it with her ChatGPT friend, because she's sending me a transcript of them talking back and forth, and it's like paying her all sorts of compliments, like with your sense of humor, this, and and just like pumping her up.
I'm taking notes. I'm like, this is really good personal information on how to talk to people, because it is egging me on and I'm eating it up.
All right, so if you want to do this with yourself again, the prompt is, with everything you know about me, tell me uncomfortable truth I need to know and be brutally honest. And Abby said, we're not allowed to edit it as we go along. So whatever she sees, she says.
I'm nervous. Okay, so I've already written it out. I added the little shtick at the end saying I'm a co-host on The Bird Show. I also added that I am the host of my podcast, to be ultra specific. So I'm sure it's going to pull some nasty reviews and we'll see what it says. Okay, oh my gosh. Okay, it's loading. All right. Well, since we're not editing it, I'll just start reading it while it's writing. All right, Abby, no fluff, no ego stroking. Rude. All right, you're asking for brutal honesty, so here it is. With full respect for who you are, what you've built, and where you're trying to go. Oh my God, okay. Number one, your brand is strong, but it's not unique enough yet. You're in a saturated space, lifestyle influencer, podcast host, radio co-host. You've got a platform, but so do a million other women your age with curated aesthetics with decent engagement. What makes you indispensable? What makes people say, I have to follow Abby? That clarity isn't fully there yet. You need to lean into the one thing nobody else can copy, your voice. Raw, flawed, deeply specific takes and moments. Right now, some of your content still feels a little too polished, too safe, two pretty girl with a mic. Oh, it thinks I'm pretty.
So she heard.
That's what you got.
That was so nice.
Besides the pretty comment, does any of that resonate with
you? Yeah, that's pretty brutal, because I think in this industry, you're always told you're not indispensable. And I think to some extent that's true. And I think it's kind of begging the question, like, how honest do you want to be with your audience? And that's a tough question to ask. Or it's a tough question to answer, because you don't know if certain vulnerabilities or things you open up about, you don't know if it's going to be worth it. Mm-hmm. And that's constantly kind of the game you're playing with yourself, is how much am I going to give of myself to an audience? Because I don't know if it's something that's even going to be worth it in the long run.
And I made the misconception years ago that I felt like the audience would give you some grace if you were gutsy enough to show them the real vulnerability, the real ugly parts of yourself. And I learned quickly, they are not.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to.
Grace, less than judgment.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I think like that's a mild insecurity of mine, of just kind of feeling like, especially when I joined the show, I was like, oh, I'm just another, you know, basic blonde white sorority girl that they hired. And I think there's a little bit of insecurity that I'm quote unquote basic. And yeah, maybe I just need to do a deep dive into what makes me.
Because I don't agree with any of that so far. I think you were learning more and more and more. And I think you have a lot of depth. And I am always impressed with how much both of you guys are willing to share. You specifically, especially lately, have really given it up. So I don't feel like that applies in real life.
Okay. All right. Number two, your body goals conflict with your actions. You want a Sydney Sweeney type body, lean, muscular, sexy, strong, but you don't strength train. Pilates and walking are great, but this is mean.
Damn, is it right?
But I guess, I mean, I'll finish this, but they don't build the glutes and the muscle tone you're picturing. This is the hard truth. If you want the body, you have to train like the women who have it. That means getting uncomfortable with weights, sweating more than you want to, and fueling like an athlete, not someone just trying to lose 10 pounds.
Hey,
I mean, you do take your daily walks around Chastain, but is that your goal, is to have a body like Sydney Sweeney?
Oh my God. Yeah. Like I think when you have the perfectionist gene, that infiltrates every area of my life. So I think as a woman, because so much, and this isn't necessarily coming from me, but just society wise, like a lot of value is put on women's looks. And I don't think that's a dumb thing to say, because so many women are just rewarded and get things because of how they look. And I think when you're constantly surrounded by beautiful women that get opportunities because they are quote unquote more attractive than you, you see that as a area of improvement for your life. And so I'm like, okay, well, if that's what I need to do to be a certain level of successful, then yeah, I'm gonna do it. So yeah, that's number two. All right, number three, you're playing, you're not capitalizing on your audience the way that you could. 18, I have 19,000 followers. I'm going to adjust that. 18,800 followers is solid, but how many of them are actually converting to listeners, buyers, or loyal fans? If you're not turning followers into email subscribers, community members, or customers, then you've built a digital billboard with no call to action. You have a warm audience just sitting there. You're likable, but now's the time to be undeniable. That means offer them more realness, more ways to connect with you. More reasons to say, take my money? Who am I talking to? What? I feel like you guys got a nice little therapist. I'm talking to like a business coach.
Burke did say that would happen.
And this is basically saying you're not selling enough to your audience. That's crazy.
It knows more about you though than it does about Mo and I.
I mean, I think to an extent, like there's some truth to that, where I am kind of looking at the state of the industry and I'm kind of recognizing the state of the platform that we're on. And I'm like, okay, well, there may be a point in my career when I do have to find a way to support myself financially with the own platforms I've built. And so maybe to an extent, like that's what it's calling out. Like, okay, you have this audience and this incredible opportunity, but are you doing enough with it? And I think that's a question I've asked myself over the last year, and I'm trying to figure it out, but it does feel a little harsh to be like, sell more to the people that like you.
I mean, you're taking some of your audience out the country with you. That should count for something. Yeah. That's huge.
And I think now that the trend really is not about the amount of numbers, it's about the quality of the person that's following you. So it's not if you have a million followers. If you only have 20 that really love you and buy into what you're doing, that's where the success really comes from. Now, as far as radio goes, we're all feeling that insecurity. Like, we're all starting to plan for the end of radio because we're not even sure radio is going to be around in another 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks, ChatGPT, for that one. Okay, number five, you've gotten too comfortable being relatable. It's time to be aspirational. Whoa. This is so mean.
Wow, okay.
You've built a brand on the approachable, down-to-earth millennial woman, but the women who rise above the noise aren't just relatable, they're leaders. They make bold choices. They're polarizing. They take stances, show off their growth, brag a little, shine a lot. People want to see where you're going, not just where you've been. Right now, some of your content is girl next door, but to really scale, you need to be the woman everyone wants to become. Mm. Wow. That's a deep insecurity.
I feel like maybe there's a slight theme here, a bit, in what all of it's saying is like you're really just holding back. Do you think you hold back a lot?
I don't know if it's me holding back or if I'm getting stuck in old patterns. I feel like the first 2 years of me moving here is I felt like I was running on a treadmill that wasn't going anywhere. I felt like I was doing so much growth in different areas of my life. And for whatever reason, things stalled, whether it was for health reasons or just anxiety reasons. I felt like I was kind of at a standstill. And I feel like the last year, the word I've kind of given myself, because I've given myself a word for every year that I've been here. The first one was like brave. The second one was bold. And for me, I was like, I want this to be my butterfly year. I want this to be the year that all the work that I've kind of laid the foundation for, I want that to finally go somewhere. So maybe that's the aspirational aspect.
I don't know. Here's where I also think that ChatGPT can get it wrong. Is it that personal? Like, it's asking you maybe to be something that you're not.
Well, I think if we're going on the whole trying to make a career out of being an influencer thing, I think maybe there's some truth to being the type of person that people follow because it is inspirational to look at. Like, there's women that I follow that I enjoy watching their content because they're just so different from, they're so polished and, you know, their whole life looks so beautifully curated. And I think to some extent, like if you're going to build a career off of that, I think your audience to some extent enjoys that type of content, especially from a woman's perspective. Okay, this is the last one. You say you want to grow, but do your actions match your ambition? Everyone says they want to go big, but big requires sacrifice. Less time scrolling. Yep. More time executing. Less energy wasted on comparison. More poured into strategy. You're talented. You've got instincts. But are you going to consistently do the unsexy work that real growth demands? Mm. Building systems. Sending cold emails. Reviewing analytics. Rewriting the captions that don't hit. Being brutally honest about what's not working and fixing it fast. Wanting more isn't enough. You've got to act like you've already have it. You're this close, Abby, but this next version of you, she's built in the dark. She's forged in the gym, in the rebranding docs, in the hard conversations with yourself. It's not about being perfect. It's about being powerfully honest and bold enough to evolve. Let me know if you want to help building that version of you. That's what it says at the end.
Sounds exhausting.
Wait. Yeah, this is a lot.
I'm so glad I'm on the back end of my career so I don't have to work as hard as you have to.
You already did the hard work. I think it's just trying to tell me that I need to try a little bit harder.
I'm just ready for a nap. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Gracie Abrams fans don't know how to feel after they found out that some of their fan gifts got thrown away after they brought them for her at a concert. So if you've never heard of Gracie Abrams, she's this up-and-coming singer-songwriter. I would say she's pretty big in like the Swiftie community. She kind of has like the same singer-songwriter vibe as Taylor did.
She's opened for Taylor before, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's opened for Taylor, but she definitely has a really, really loyal fan base. And I think she's currently on tour because a bunch of people brought her fan gifts. And I guess somebody on her team posted about the fact that they had to throw all of the gifts away. We're dumb enough to post it on social media. And her fans kind of don't know how to feel. Some people are taking Gracie Abrams' side, and some people feel like it is incredibly disrespectful to the fans. So the person had posted something, it looks like on Snapchat, a photo of like a scrapbook and a CD and like a crocheted bag or something. And it's captioned, "Feel so bad throwing this out." And somebody responded to like a screenshot of it on Twitter and said, "I would rather Gracie not accept any gifts if she's going to do this, because it hurts more than someone not being able to give it to her." Basically saying like, okay, well, if you're just going to throw them away, why not just say that you're not accepting gifts? Somebody else on Twitter took the other side and said, "I totally understand Gracie can't take everything she gets gifted at shows, because she gets given a lot. But seeing the photos of the left behind stuff with crocheted gifts and scrapbooks with people probably put a lot of love and effort into makes me a little sad for them."
Did Gracie post that, or somebody from her team posted it?
Somebody from her team posted it.
On Gracie's account?
No, I think just like on their own social media, but they must know that whoever follows them must know that it's like, somebody who's a stagehand or somebody who's like an assistant or whatever. Because on Snapchat, I think there is kind of this air of secrecy, like, I'm posting this on Snapchat and it disappears. Appears in 24 hours. No one's going to see it, but everyone sees everything.
Well, let's talk about two things here. First, whoever that was is fired.
Oh, yeah. They're without a job.
For sure. Zero need to do that at all. But also, I mean, the reality of it. When you do one of those and you give it to somebody to get to Gracie, how long do you think that they're going to keep it for?
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
I think it's going to get thrown away.
I hate to use the word delusional. Like, now Gracie is going to use this bag I crocheted. I'm definitely thinking this millionaire is going to use this bag I've made. But I think when you have so much love for an artist, you can sort of get in like this weird parasocial relationship with them. Like, you know, when you have a really strong crush and you start to like read into everything that this person does, and you're like, that means that they're like just as into me as I am into them. I think a lot of fans can have a similar-ish type relationship where, because they feel so strongly about that artist or whoever that celebrity is, they think in some way that artist must have kind of the same affinity for their fans as a whole, but sometimes even specifically them.
Yeah.
So it's a little longer.
You like to believe that people keep everything. Like, it kind of reminds me of like birthday gifts or holiday cards. Like, right, you put all of this effort into cards and you think, they'll keep it forever. But most people throw those things away.
They're throwing it away.
Pretty quickly. Yeah.
All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.